Today to two places at the same time. Well, you can do one right after the other, but hold two places. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and then find Luke chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and then Luke chapter 4. Now, we're in the second study, or the second message, of this series called The Power of the Spirit, which is really the third series in this overall study on the Holy Spirit since we began. Oh, let's see, it must be, this is week 18, I believe. We talked about being filled with the Spirit. Then we talked about being led by the Holy Spirit for about 8 weeks each. And then now we've begun to study the power of the Holy Spirit. And last week, in beginning, the Holy Spirit led us to talk about how the power of the Holy Spirit starts with receiving. There's no need to study how to move in the power of the Holy Spirit if you still are not baptized with the Holy Spirit. Baptized with the Holy Spirit. And somebody says, well, when you're saved, you're baptized with the Holy Spirit. No. When you're saved, that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit baptizes you into Jesus. But when you, after you get saved, when you receive the Holy Spirit's fullness on you, that's when you're baptized, not of the Holy Spirit, but with the Holy Spirit. I think we'll talk about that in the next couple of weeks. The baptism with the Holy Spirit, you're baptized with the Spirit and receive His fullness. And it brings, along with being Spirit-filled, it brings along the enablement of praying in a language that you've never learned before. That doesn't mean, I wouldn't dare to say that if you haven't prayed in a spiritual language yet that you're not Spirit-filled, but I would dare to say that if you are Spirit-filled, you're enabled, though you may not have stepped out to do it yet, you're enabled by the Holy Spirit to pray in the Holy Spirit, and you ought to do it because it will bless you. It'll bless your life, charge your battery, pump you up, and help you to begin to flow in the manifestations of the Holy Spirit listed in 1 Corinthians 12 here. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I want us to begin reading at the fourth verse. Let me read verses 1, 2, and 3, and then I want us all to read beginning at the fourth verse, and we're going to read three verses, verses 4, 5, and 6. Okay? Now listen to me in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul says, now concerning spiritual gifts, and the word gifts, if you have a New King James or a King James, is italicized, meaning that gifts, there is not a Greek word for gifts. That was added by the translators to help with the understanding. So really it just says, now concerning spirituals. Spirituals. Or we could say spiritual things. Paul says, now concerning spirituals, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, non-Jews, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now let's all read 4, 5, and 6 together. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. Now, this chapter here, beginning actually with the next verse, verse 7, begins to talk about the manifestation, or what we would call the gifts of the Spirit. And in verse 8, he begins to list those off. Nine of them, he begins to list the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and faith, and working in miracles, gifts of healings, and so on down the line. Tongues interpretation is what he ends with. Now, before he gets there, though, Paul brings about some clarification of some categories and divisions of the Trinity God, the triune God. And here in verses 4, 5, and 6, so many people skim right over these and get right to the manifestations of the Spirit. And because of it, they compromise how the manifestations of the Spirit are supposed to operate within a ministry and within a body. Here Paul says, notice verse 4, he says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Talking about these manifestations of the Spirit, those nine that we just mentioned from verses 8 all the way through verse 10. It says that all of these are gifts, but it's all the same what? Same who? Same Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit. Isn't that right? So there are diversities of gifts. The Greek word gifts there is charisma. We say charisma, you know, charisma. And it means enablement. It means grace. It means power. We could say there are different ways that power comes on Christians, but it's the same Holy Spirit that brings those powers. Some is working miracles, and some is giving a word of wisdom, some a word of knowledge. but it's all the power of the same Spirit. That's what he's saying. So there are different charismas, there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. Notice the next verse, verse 5. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. Now, who's the Lord? His name is Jesus, right? Notice here, he is giving a reverse order of the Trinity, starting with the Holy Spirit. He said there are different gifts, but it's the same Holy Spirit. And then he says there are different ministries. The Greek word ministries there is diakonia. And diakonia, it means operations or diakonia. Let me look at my notes here because I want to say it exactly the way I wrote it down. The word diakonia is ministries and functions in the church. And it includes, I believe, two different lists in the Word of God. First of all, in Ephesians chapter 4, when the Bible says, when Jesus ascended to high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men. How many of you like gifts? Do you like gifts? He gave gifts to men. How many of you like gifts from Jesus? Did you know Jesus gave you some gifts? And he says, here are the gifts that Jesus gave. He gave some apostles. He gave some prophets. He gave some evangelists. He gave some pastors. And he gave some teachers. Somebody said, that's not what I wanted. I wanted a BMW. These are the gifts that Jesus gave to his body. He gave gifts. These are what we might call office gifts. People that stand in a certain office because Jesus has called them, anointed them, and appointed them to function in a certain office. They're gifts from the Lord Jesus. It's part of the ministries of the Lord Jesus. Romans chapter 12 mentions a different list of gifts or a different list of ministries. And it mentions prophecy, ministry. In other words, ministry is serving. People who lead. It talks about people who show mercy. It talks about the giver. How many of you remember the seven what we call ministry gifts, or some people call them motivational gifts? I believe they're creational gifts. In other words, I believe that when you were born from your mother, not born again, but when you were born, God created you and put these abilities inside of you. They're innate. They're inside. And that's why even non-Christians have certain abilities and functions. There are certain non-Christians, people that have never received Jesus, and they're tremendous leaders. And it's not because they just read the right book or took the right course or studied under the right leader that they become great leaders. There's something about them that when they develop properly, there's a gift about them, a grace that's on them from creation, from being born, that they're just better. You could take another person that may even be their brother or sister in the same family, have them read the same books, take the same course. They just don't have it to lead, but they have something else that this person doesn't have. Do you understand what I'm talking about? These abilities, these ministries are not limited just to Christians. They're there. But when you become a Christian, they're still with you. If you were a great leader in the world and you became a Christian, you have the potential of being a great leader if you're submitted to the Lord in the body of Christ. But it'll be even more enhanced because now you have the Holy Spirit helping you. And so what God had originally given you is enhanced and will function even better in the kingdom of God if you're submitted to the Lord. But nevertheless, those are also, when you get saved and you have this ability to lead, this ability to give, this ability to show mercy, this ability to exhort, and all those ministry gifts, those all fall under the headship of the Lord Jesus because he's the head of the church. And those are ministries that need to be carried out in the church. So when this says there are different gifts, but it's the same Holy Spirit, talking about the gifts of the Spirit or the manifestations of the Spirit, then he says there are different ministries, not only talking about the five office gifts or ministries, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, but about all of us and what we function in, leading or prophecy or giving or serving or exhortation, showing mercy. Those are ministry gifts. All of those fall under the headship of the head of the church, who is the Lord Jesus. Isn't that right? Okay, now, he says there are different gifts, but it's the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but it's the same Lord. And then he says, and there are diversities. Notice verse 7, or verse 6. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. Now, the word activities is the word energema. And energema means workings, effect. There are different operations. In other words, how many of you know what special effects are? Special. I like special effects. I like it when you go to those plays. And, you know, my wife would like the romantic, you know, love thing. That's okay, too. But I like the kaboom stuff, you know. It's like, I like the stuff that when they did it, you're like, how'd they do that? That's awesome. And I'm trying to figure out how they did that. That's what I like. I like those special effects. Well, this says there are different gifts, but it's the same Spirit. There are different ministries in the church, but it's the same Lord, Jesus. And there are different activities, workings, operations, how they function, effects, the outcomes. There are different outcomes or ways that they work together. But notice it's the same God. And I believe this is referring obviously to God the Father, because he referred to the Spirit and the Son in the previous two verses. He said it's the same God who works all in all. Let me say it a different way. The Holy Spirit has different gifts that he gives to empower his body. The Lord Jesus has instituted various ministries, a hierarchy and a structure of ministry in his church. He's the head of the church. But it's God the Father who works all in all. It's God the Father who works all the gifts of the Holy Spirit within all the ministries in the church. Can you see that? God coordinates all this. Father God coordinates. See, the Trinity is involved. And what so many people do is, when we begin to talk about the power of the Spirit, they completely make the ministry of Jesus and all that function and what God the Father is doing, working it all together, irrelevant. And they say, I'm hearing from the Holy Spirit, so everybody needs to get out of the way. Not realizing that Paul prefaced the manifestation of the Spirit with some clear categories to say, yes, the Holy Spirit does operate in gifts and ministries, but the Lord Jesus is over all of these ministries and structure in the church. And it's God the Father that works all the gifts within all the ministries. And if you miss that, when we get to the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, you'll assume that the Holy Spirit dominates everything. And if you get a word from God, then everybody else needs to back down and move out of the way. And it's because you didn't read the chapter. You skip right over to the verses that you wanted to see and missed what Paul was saying. Now, are you still holding Luke 4? Look at Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Notice verse 1. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Let's stop there. Then Jesus, being filled with who? The Holy Spirit. And then Jesus was led by who? The Spirit. Is that also the Holy Spirit? Yes, same Spirit, right? Now, look at verse 14. This is after the temptation. And verse 14 says, then Jesus returned in the power of who? The same Holy Spirit. The power of the Spirit. All right, now everybody look here. Who was Jesus filled with? Come on now. Who was Jesus filled with? Who was Jesus led by? Who was Jesus empowered by? Who was Jesus submitted to? God the Father. Got you on that one, didn't I? I normally ask easy questions, but I wanted to set you up on that one. And here's why. Here's why. Because you need to understand this. That if you're not careful when it comes to the doctrine of the Bible, you'll mush the Trinity all up together and make it seem like whatever the Holy Spirit's doing, that's what God is doing in totality. It's not true. There is a ministry of the Son, the Lord Jesus, that we need to pay attention to and give heedance to. And there's a ministry of Father God that we need to pay attention to. And I've noticed in charismatic Pentecostal circles that we get into the power of the Spirit and we completely isolate and make obsolete the ministry of the Son and all that He has ordained and set up in the church and all that God the Father is doing. I'm hearing from the Spirit and that's all that matters. And Paul said here, that's not all that matters. No, there are diversities of gifts. It's the same Spirit, but there are different ministries and it's the same Lord Jesus. See, He's got some things going too. And the Father God is over here working all the gifts in all the ministries. There's a coordination that needs to happen between the two. Between the gifts of the Spirit and the working of ministry that Jesus implemented in the church. Now, look over. Well, you don't have to turn there. I'll read it. If you want to turn quickly to John 8, you can. John 8, 26. I want you to listen to what Jesus said. This is not the only time that He talked about this. But listen to John chapter 8, the 26th verse. Jesus said, I have many things to say and to judge concerning you. But He who sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I heard from Him. They did not understand that He spoke to them of who? The Father. Listen to what He said. He said, I have a lot of things I want to say, but I only say what I hear Father say. Have you noticed that Jesus never said, You know, I only hear what the I only say what the Holy Spirit says. Jesus never said, whatever the Holy Spirit tells me to do, I do. Now listen, don't get me wrong. Don't jump over into the ditch on one side of the road. We just read Jesus was filled with the Spirit, Jesus was led by the Spirit, and Jesus was empowered with the Spirit. Are those things true? Yes, they are. But I want you to notice, when Jesus openly talked about who he followed, he always talked about the Father. Are you listening to me? Is that because he didn't realize that the Holy Spirit was on him? No, of course not. Of course he realized it. But it's that Jesus submitted himself to the one that was higher than him, even though the Trinity is coexistent, they're co-eternal. They're all co-equal. But yet Jesus would always say, whatever Father wants me to do. Is that right? Whatever the Father wants me to do. And he says here, whatever I hear the Father say. He who sent me, whatever he speaks, that's what I'm going to say. And they did not realize, notice again, they did not realize that he spoke to them of the Father. Verse 28 says, then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. I do nothing of myself. What if we said that? I do nothing of myself. Look what he said. But as my Father taught me, I speak these things. As who taught him? I thought he was led by the Spirit. He is. But who is he submitted to? The Father. Are you catching this? You seeing something? You need to know this. Jesus wasn't just confused and saying, well, you know, sometimes he'd say Spirit, Father, it's all the same thing. Not all the same thing. If it was all the same thing, they'd use all the same words. They didn't. There is something distinct that is happening here in the ministry of Jesus, in the structure of the Trinity, even though they're all co-equal, they're all God, Father, Son, Spirit, they're all God. Is that true? But I want you to notice that here Jesus is filled with the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, and still says, but I only do it if Father says to do it. Do you see the submission, the humility there? Even though I've got the Spirit in me, telling me, showing me things, giving me insight, I still don't move until Father says move. Isn't that interesting? There's a submission there. Let me finish this part. Verse 29, and he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. I always do those things that please him. Now let me tell you, when Jesus would please the Father, the Holy Spirit would also be pleased. But I just want to let you know that he didn't say, I always do those things that please the Holy Spirit, because he wanted everybody to know that though he was filled with the Spirit, led by the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit, he was submitted upward to that one that had been placed in authority over him, and that's God the Father. That's God the Father. Listen to 1 Corinthians 11:3. Now, this is not one that's quoted very often or studied very often, and you'll see why. 1 Corinthians 11:3 says, but I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. Nobody has a problem with that. The head of every woman is man. Let's keep reading. This last part is one I wanted to get to. We'll cover that middle part maybe another time. Notice this last part. And the head of Christ is God. Somebody said, wait a minute, I thought Christ was God. He is. But when it says God here, who is it referring to? The Father. Most of the time, not every time, but most of the time in the New Testament, when the Bible says God, either it's talking about God the Trinity or God the Father. Sometimes it refers to Jesus as God, no doubt about it. And the Spirit of God, of course, he's God as well. But most of the time, it's referring to the Father. Like, for example, in Ephesians 1:17, when Paul's praying and he says, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Notice he says, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus' God? The Father. The Father. He submitted to the Father as his God. And that's not the only verse, it's all over. I believe Ephesians chapter 1 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's not only his Father, he's his God. Do you get that? You understand that? See? So the head of Christ is God. So even in the Trinity, though they're all equal, they're all God, they're all, and you know, from eternity past, they were all omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent, all of them, there was still a submission one to the other. Unity does not happen without a submission to authority. You need to know something. Somebody said, let's be in unity. We'll all hear from the Spirit. We'll all get the same thing and we'll be in unity. It ain't going to happen. Because we all get a piece and we don't realize how our piece fits with another piece. How many of you know that sometimes you're putting together a puzzle and there are all these pieces. I'm not talking about one of those, you know, Disney puzzles where there's 9 pieces in the whole puzzle. But you know one of those ones that have 500 pieces, kind of like a church. And you got your piece. And you want to snap it in place right now. And you got all these pieces scattered and you're ticked. I got a piece. Want to snap it in place. Well, hang on a second. What do you mean hang on? God's called me. Snap me in. Well, hold on. We got to see. We got to get some other things worked out. No, I don't want all that structure. Well, we're gonna build the outside of this puzzle first, right? Get the border. Right, and then we're going to start working our way down into the middle. And you're somewhere in the middle. Can you just hold on? No, I'm not going to hold on. The Spirit's doing something in me. And people do that. People have that kind of a thought process. But I want you to notice Jesus didn't think that way. Jesus said, no, I'm just on looking to Father. If He says it, I'll say it. In another place, He says, whatever He tells me to say, that's what I say. Whatever He tells me to do, that's what I'll do. Is that right? So here the Son of God, empowered, filled, and led by the Holy Spirit, is saying, but I listen to my authority, Father. Now listen to what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. 16:13 of John. He says, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority. What? Is this the mighty, awesome Holy Spirit that He's talking about? Does the Holy Spirit have authority? Sure He does. But notice what Jesus says. When the Holy Spirit comes, He won't speak on His own authority. Notice, but whatever He hears, He will speak. What does that mean? That means just because He knows it, He won't speak it. He won't speak it until He hears that that's what He needs to speak. Well, who is He listening to? Jesus was listening to Father. Who is the Holy Spirit listening to? Well, look at it. Whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He, the Holy Spirit, will glorify me. Who is me? That's Jesus. Notice what He says. When the Holy Spirit comes, He will glorify me. For He will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that He will take of mine and declare it to you. Notice the submission. Notice the selflessness. Says when the Holy Spirit comes, He won't just speak of Himself. He won't glorify Himself. He'll glorify me. He won't speak on His own authority. Well, doesn't the Holy Spirit know everything? I said, does the Holy Spirit know everything? Yes, but I want you to notice, just because He knows it, He doesn't say it. He submitted to the Lord Jesus, and He said, He's going to take of mine and declare it to you. Let me tell you what Jesus is saying. I came to the earth here. I died. I bought and redeemed a whole people to myself. And I've given gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. I've begun to implement the structure of the church. I'm the head of the church. And when the Holy Spirit comes, He's not going to abolish all that and do His own thing. He's going to come and show you what I've done. He's going to come and reveal to you what I've put in place. I've got a vision for this earth. I bought this earth with my own blood. And when the Holy Spirit comes, He's going to show you what I have done and what I'm doing and help you to function within the structure that I've laid down. He will not speak on His own authority. He's going to show you what I have, all my stuff that I'm doing. So let me tell you, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to help you see what Jesus is doing in the earth and to bring glory to Jesus, not to Himself. Sometimes people wonder, hey, we need to worship the Holy Spirit and praise Him. The Spirit won't lead you to do that. Jesus said, no, the Holy Spirit won't lead you to worship the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will lead you to glorify Jesus. Is it because the Holy Spirit's not worthy? No. Is it because He's not God? No. It's because that's what He was sent to do. He was sent to bring glory to the Lord Jesus, the head of the church, the Redeemer, the Savior, the one who died in our place. That's what the Holy Spirit leads us to do, to glorify Jesus. So when you glorify Jesus, you're being led by the Spirit. And we just read, nobody says Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So don't think you're dishonoring the Holy Spirit when you're declaring the lordship of Jesus and the awesome power of Jesus and His salvation. And don't think every time you come to worship God, you got to say, and same thing to the Father and the same thing to the Son, same thing. That's just religiousness. That is not what the Holy Spirit's leading you to do. The Holy Spirit wants you to connect with the plan of Jesus in your life. That's what the Holy Spirit... Be led by the Spirit to follow your head, the Lord of the church, Jesus. Do you understand? Now, I'm not in any way demeaning, belittling, minimizing the power and the working of the Holy Spirit. I'm showing you what Jesus said He was sent to do. To honor Him, let Him do what He was sent to do. Don't try to say, no, He's right up there with everybody else. I want Him to do this, and I want us to do this to Him. And no, you let Him do what He was sent to do. That's humility. Who are you to come along and say, no, I want it to be this way? That's pride. That's arrogance. Is that right? We need to submit to the Holy Spirit. Now, do you know Jesus comes and says, I only do what the Father does. The Holy Spirit comes and says, I'm here to glorify Jesus. And then comes us. Right? And we have people that are filled with the Holy Spirit, and the manifestation, the gifts of the Spirit begin to flow, and the Holy Spirit begins to reveal things to them, and they begin to talk like this. Well, I don't know why our church is not doing this, because what the Spirit's telling me. I don't know what they're doing, but here's what the Spirit's telling me. And you think that you can hear from the Holy Spirit and discount the Lord Jesus. Somebody said, oh no, I'm not going against Jesus. No. I'm just going against my pastor. I'm just going against the kids pastor, the youth pastor. I'm just going against my ministry leader. Because they're not hearing from God. The Holy Spirit's showing me what we need to do. And I told my leader, and they're not listening to me. And there's an assumption there that because you're hearing something from the Holy Spirit, that your job is now to make everybody else bow down to what you heard from the Holy Spirit. And you know that's not right. That's discounting all the ministry structure that the Lord Jesus put in place and saying, because I've got the gift of the Spirit, I've got a word of knowledge right now. The Holy Spirit showed me what to do. So it doesn't matter who the leader is. Doesn't matter who has the positional authority in the church. I got a word from God and everybody needs to do this word. See that? That's an immature Christian. That's a Christian that won't go very far in the things of God. And they'll be frustrated. You know how frustrating it is to be hearing from the Holy Spirit? And I'm not saying they're not. Thank God for people that hear the Holy Spirit. Isn't that right? We need them around. But you know how frustrating it is to be hearing from the Holy Spirit and you just can't get anything going in your life? God just doesn't use you to affect change and to do anything, and you're frustrated and you blame it all on everybody else. It's partly because you've discounted the whole ministry of the Lord Jesus because you heard something from the Holy Spirit. Listen to what 1 Corinthians 13:9 says. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. We know in what? Part. What does that mean? That means you don't know the whole thing. Is that right? You don't know the whole thing. They should listen to me. Notice Jesus says, hey, whatever Father wants me to do. The Holy Spirit says, yeah, I just want to bring glory to Jesus. And then we come along. They should listen to me. God showed me what we're supposed to be doing. Right? What is that? That's pride. I said that's pride. For we know in what? Part. But immature, prideful people assume that their part is the whole thing. I know it all. I know it all. And if God showed me what's going to happen, then I know not only what's going to happen, but how it's going to happen and when it's going to happen and who it's going to happen with and to. Is that right? Happens all the time. So we have people that are prideful, opinionated, gossips, constantly questioning authority, manipulating for position and self-esteem. Upset if the leader doesn't move. When I heard from God and I told the leader and they didn't move on it. Upset about it. You know why? Because they're submitted to the Holy Spirit, trying to flow with the power of the Spirit, but not submitted to the structure that Jesus put in place. Oh, I'm submitted to Jesus. Oh, is that right? Well, doesn't the Bible say that all authorities have been appointed by God? Huh? Isn't Jesus the head of the church, and he's the one that gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers? Isn't he the one that instituted those authorities? Wasn't it the Bible that when the people of God came against Moses and murmured against Moses, that God came to Moses and said, they didn't reject you, they rejected me because I appointed you. Is that right? I said, is that right?
Yes.
And so many, many, many people, in fact, I've seen it happen in many tremendous ministries, some in Orange County, but many ministries all over that have such a powerful move of the Spirit, but people begin to place the Holy Spirit's move and working at such a level that it eliminates all authority. They don't care who the pastor, the leader, the evangelist is. They don't care who's in charge, who God set up. I'm hearing from the Holy Spirit. So that discounts everything else. And Paul said it does not. There are different gifts. It's the same Spirit. But there are also different ministries. It's the same Lord. And God is coordinating the working of the gifts in the ministries. The Holy Spirit's coming to bring glory to Jesus, not to discount who He appointed. That makes sense? And so we've got tremendous amounts of churches that have flourished and the power of the Spirit hit them, and after a few years, after they just fizzle out. I could name powerful ministries that don't even exist anymore. I mean, they're just flat gone. They don't even exist anymore. Because there was a move of the Spirit, but nobody paid any attention to leadership because I got a word from God. And they should be. And so we go around and say, you know about this whole thing going on in our church? Or in this ministry, you know, this whatever ministry, women's ministry or the choir or whatever. I know the leader said we ought to be doing this, but here's what the Lord showed me. What are they saying? I hear God better than they do. And so here the Holy Spirit won't even glorify Himself. He brings glory to Jesus. But what do? We just want somebody to know that I'm spiritual. I'm hearing God. The pastor doesn't even know this. God showed it to me. It happens all the time. It happens all the time. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch over your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Notice, obey those who rule over you and be submissive. What is obedience? Obedience is do what they tell you to do. What is submission? Do it with the right attitude. Some people obey, but they're not submitted. Some people submit, but they don't ever obey. Yep, whatever you want me to do, but they don't do it. He says, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch over your souls as those who must give account. Let them do it with joy. Don't make it hard on them. Some people make it hard on the person that leads them. Always questioning. Why? Why? That's not what I'm hearing. That's not what I'm hearing. And they make it tough all the time. How many of you know that's not the Holy Spirit leading you to do that? That's not the Holy Spirit leading you to do that. How many of you know that when somebody speaks in tongues, and that's of the Holy Spirit. If it's genuine, that's of the Holy Spirit. How many of you know that's the power of the Holy Spirit if somebody speaks in a spiritual language? Is that true? I want you to notice the Apostle Paul, though, writes in the 12th, 13th, 14th chapter about speaking in tongues. And he comes and says, hey, you guys are speaking in tongues. You're doing it too much. You're doing it the wrong time. And you know there's some people saying, hey, I sense the Holy Spirit when I'm speaking in tongues. This is the power of the Spirit. And it is the power of the Spirit. But this apostle comes in and says, yeah, but you're not doing it in love toward other people. You're doing it at the wrong time. You're doing it in excess. It's not appropriate. And a lot of people say, Paul's quenching the Spirit. Right? Because this is the power of the Spirit. You don't speak in tongues by yourself. That's the Holy Spirit speaking through you. The Bible is very clear about that. But here's the apostle, the structural leader in the church, that comes and says, you're doing it too much. And not only speaking in tongues, but he tells the prophets. In 14th chapter, he says, all those of you that stand in the office of a prophet, he said, let two or three prophets speak. And then let them stop and let the others judge. And that's enough. They're saying, another prophet may say, hey, wait a minute, I got something from the Spirit. You're quenching the spirit. But notice this apostle comes in and says, two or three is enough. And we'll stop. We need to let the other prophets judge and make sure that these are right. You don't need to make sure that mine's right. Mine's of the Lord. No, you need to be judged. Your prophecy needs to be judged. See what's happening here? It's of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Prophets speaking by the Spirit, speaking in tongues, and all this is of the Holy Spirit. But the apostle comes in and says, you're doing it the wrong way. You're doing it too much. Let's just have two or three, and then that's enough. We need to move on. And somebody says, who gives you the right? He's an apostle. That's who gives him the right. If you read down a little bit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you get past the gifts of the Spirit and you read down, you get to verse 27, it says, and God has appointed these in the church. First, apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. After that, gifts of healings, working, and miracles, which tend to go with the evangelist. And then helps, administration, varieties of tongues and interpretation of tongues, which tend to be under the ministry of the pastor. And he says, God has appointed these in the church. Notice right in the same chapter as all the manifestations of the Spirit, God goes back from what he was saying in the 4th, 5th, and 6th verse. He comes back again and says, let me tell you about how this works now. The apostles are at the top, and then prophets and teachers, and then the evangelists, and these manifestations flow through these other gifts. Notice that God says, don't forget the structure of the church that Jesus implemented. And so, Paul's inspired of the Lord to come and to bring limitation and put parameters on the working of the Holy Spirit. And you know, a lot of people don't like that. A lot of people, oh, you're quenching the Spirit. I had something from the Holy Spirit. You should have let me share that. Well, you can tell by their attitude. That's not the Holy Spirit's attitude. Isn't that right? That's not the Holy Spirit's attitude. I remember one time our youth group had grown to the place where we didn't have enough room. We wanted to do some other things. We wanted to start a resource book table with some tapes and things. We wanted to have a room to pray for people that received the Lord or that got filled with the Spirit. And we didn't have the room. We were meeting on Wednesday night. Our church was pretty large. And we just didn't have any rooms to go. And I was praying about what the Lord wanted us to do and such. And I remember one morning, walking around in our living room in our house next door to the church. And man, the Holy Spirit impressed me that we needed to move the youth group from Wednesday night to Thursday night. And so when my wife got up, I said, honey, I believe I heard from the Lord that God wants us to move youth ministry from being on Wednesday night where everybody else met to Thursday night. That way we can have all the room we need and the time we need. They had hour services, 7 to 8, and that was it. And man, we had so many things we were trying to do with these kids. That just didn't work for us. We just felt so limited. And she said, do you think they'll go for that? Meaning the leaders of the church? Because, see, I was under submission, under authority. I wasn't the senior pastor. So I said, well, you know, if it's the Lord, I'm praying and expecting that they're hearing the same thing, right? So I went to our assistant pastor, sat down and said, you know what, I've been praying about this whole thing with the youth ministry. And I feel like the Lord wants us to move the youth ministry from Wednesday night to Thursday night. So we'll have plenty of room and a little bit extra time to work on some things that we feel the Lord, the Holy Spirit, telling us to work on. And without even hesitating, he said, no, we're not going to do that. No, we're not going to do that. Now, the thought crossed my mind. I didn't say it. But the thought crossed my mind, you didn't even pray about it. I've been praying, spending hours praying in the Spirit and praying over this situation, how we could be released to the next level. And here I come in, you don't even stop to pray. You don't even say, I'll pray about it. Or say, let's pray right now. You just say, no. And inside, a little bit of the flesh said, well, I know around here who hears from God and who doesn't. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Is it just me? The soul gets in there. The pride starts to come up. But I didn't say it. I didn't say it. And I went back home, and my wife said, how'd it go? Not good. He said no. Didn't say he'll pray about it. He just said no. She said, what are you going to do? I said, well, I'm going to pray about it. Because the Lord didn't give me the position to make the change. I didn't have that authority. Do you understand? I didn't have the authority to make the change. I had to go request. And the request was denied. Big red stamp. Denied. With no prayer. Right? And you know, I didn't say anything to any of my leaders. I didn't get my group together and say, now the Spirit's telling me we need to move to Thursday night, but I asked the assistant pastor and he said no, without even praying. No, I didn't say a word to any of them. Do you understand? Why? Because that would not bring credibility to the ministry. That's not glorifying Jesus and those leaders that he's instituted in the church. That's not blessing them. That would cause division. That would cause question. And the Holy Spirit doesn't lead you to do that. But I believed I was hearing from the Holy Spirit about moving it to Thursday night. You know, in about 3 months, just praying about it behind the scenes, not saying a word to anybody. That same assistant pastor called me back in and said, you know what, we're just so crowded on Wednesday nights. We just don't have any room to go. What do you think about moving the youth to Thursday nights? Now, the thought crossed my mind. To say, I told you that. But I didn't say it. I said I didn't say it. Because that'd be inappropriate to say that. I said, I think we can do that. And then I went and shared with the team and began to prepare. Now, some people would take that and say, see that? I hear from God first. I'm more sensitive. But I believe maturity would say, thank you, Lord, that they didn't come to me and say, we're moving you to Thursday night, and I didn't have any knowledge of it by the Holy Spirit, but that you let me in on that and pray through that and even had some plans of how we could do that in a good transition before they ever brought it up. Do you understand? Thank God. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. But see, that doesn't mean that you just blow through structure and authority because you heard from God. That's inappropriate. The Holy Spirit brings glory to Jesus. I remember my pastor calling me in before I was ever in ministry. And I was leading worship at that point, volunteer for the college ministry. And the college pastor told the church, I'm leaving, I'm moving on. And there was some change in the youth ministry. And my pastor called me in, and I really didn't know him. But he called me in and said, listen, what would you think about being our junior high pastor, volunteer basis? Now, before the junior high pastor was paid. But he said, volunteer. And I said, well, you know what? I said, I haven't really thought about it, but my sense is, what I believe, and I don't remember exact words I used, but I let him know, I don't feel called to youth ministry. I feel like, especially with our college pastor transitioning, I feel like I need to stay in there with the college ministry and lead the worship so there's some continuity. I said, you know, you're the pastor. I learned this much. You're the pastor. Whatever you'd like me to do, I'd be happy to do. But I think it would be better if I stayed in the college and led that worship for the college ministry, especially during this transition. He said, okay, I want you to do junior high. And the thought crossed my mind, didn't you hear what I just said? That I feel like I need to stay in the college. But before I knew it, I said, okay, if you want me to do junior high, I'll do junior high. I had no desire to be in youth ministry. None. Zero. Had not been asking for it. Had not been praying about it. Let my pastor know. I didn't feel like that's where I was supposed to be. And he said, okay, I understand. I want you to do junior high. And so I said, okay. Not realizing that I would do that volunteer for a year, and that would be the way that the Lord used to hire me full-time in the ministry, which is what I was believing him for. A year later, they offered me the full-time position of youth pastor over all the youth. And I did that for 8.5 years and loved every minute of it and knew I was called to do it. And the denomination called and said, we want him to be the youth leader over the whole denomination nationwide. How'd that happen? Because I heard from the Holy Spirit? No, I was hearing something else. Because I submitted to my pastor. And the Lord opened up my life ministry to me because I was subjected under the Lordship of Jesus, which came down to my pastor, and I just did what he asked me to do. But he was hearing from the Holy Spirit more than I was, even though I didn't think he was. Are you understanding what I'm talking about? you need to know that you're being tested and checked out by God constantly, not only with your ability to hear from the Spirit, but your ability to submit to those leaders that God has put you under, as fleshly and carnal as you think they may be. God put you there, and He knew what they were like when He put you there. Is that right? A little quiet in here, isn't it? How many of you know that electricity is an awesome thing, but misused, it kills people? The power of the Spirit is a wonderful thing, but misused, if it's not within the parameters and the rules and the laws that govern that properly, it destroys. And we've seen that happen in charismatic and Pentecostal circles. The power of the Spirit is moving, but more people are injured than helped. More people are hurt. Churches torn apart, church splits, all kinds of bad things happen. That's why so many pastors that believe in the power of the Spirit won't allow it. Because the flesh gets in there and people have no regard anymore for the structure and the authority lines. It's all the Spirit. And there's no more submission to authority. That's wrong. Everybody say, that's wrong. That's why in sports you need referees. Because if you left it up to the players, they're the professionals. Let them decide what's a foul. I remember my wife told me, she said, you know, she was just sharing a little insight to me. She says, you know, I'll come to you and I'll share something that the Holy Spirit is showing me about. Back then it was youth ministry. About what the Lord wants to do in our youth ministry. And you'll say, yeah, maybe, but we're not supposed to do that right now. And she said, you'll blow me off. She said, but 6 months later, you'll stand up on the platform and say, God spoke to me. We need to do this. And never come back and say, that's what you said. Never admit that you weren't the first one that heard that. Not that she was trying to get any credit. Just, I'll come like, this is the first time God spoke it. And she said, I told you about that 6 months ago. Oh, that's right. I remember that now. That's right. And she would hear it 6 months in advance. And I didn't hear it. Not that it didn't witness to my spirit that that was something God wanted to do, but it just didn't seem like that's what we needed to do right then. And 6 months later, then I heard it. And she was praying another time, and she was hearing something and shared it with me, and I wasn't getting it. No, I don't think we need to do that. And she went back to the Lord about it. God, praying for me. And the Lord said, she told me this. The Lord said, Jerry's not missing it. I like that. Thank you, Lord. Keep revealing that wisdom. He said, Jerry's not missing it. He said, I'm showing you things to come so that you can pray over these things in advance before they ever happen. It's not time to do that, and that's why I didn't tell the leader to lead us into that, because it's not time to do that. I'm sharing with you. And I'm telling you, intercessors have such a powerful role in the church. But I'm telling you, so often the intercessory prayer team is more demonic than Holy Spirit led. Listen to what I'm saying. Because they have a gift and a grace from God to hear things in the Spirit and to begin to combat in advance, before the church ever gets there. Months in advance, sometimes years in advance, to hear from the Holy Spirit and to begin to pray and to deal with things. But instead of using that knowledge to pray, they begin to manipulate or to glorify self. And so they come and share, you know, our intercessory team feels like we ought to be doing this. But Pastor, he's not hearing it. He's not getting it. Now let me tell you, does that glorify Jesus? Does that bless the church? Does that bring unity to the body? What does it bring? Division. And it glorifies self. We're hearing it, but he's not. Right? Not realizing that God didn't share with them. God hasn't placed them in a position of leadership to lead the body into it, but has placed them in a position of serving as an intercessor to hear and to prepare the way. So by the time the congregation gets there, all the mountains are blown down. All of the rubble and the jungle in front of us that would hold us back from the move of God is all cleared away. Now, they don't get a lot of credit out in the natural, but how many of you know in the kingdom of God they do? Is that right? And the Holy Spirit reveals these things to them and leads them into these things. But let me tell you, we all know this. We all know this. when the Holy Spirit shares something with you and you begin to pray about that, you're being led by the Holy Spirit. But when you come over to somebody else and say, well, this is what I'm hearing, and I know it's God, and they, whoever they are, how many of you know the Holy Spirit's not leading that? And if you'll be quiet, down inside, there'll be a check inside. Don't say that. Don't say that. But see here, while you're bragging about being so spiritual and being so led by the Spirit, you're ignoring the check of the Spirit not to bring disunity. The Bible says one of the abominations of God is sowing discord among brethren. He hates that. And here, while you're bragging about being so good at following the Holy Spirit, you're ignoring the Holy Spirit. Is that right? You're ignoring the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit's not like that. He comes to bring glory to Jesus, not to himself. But pride likes to tell people. Intercessors' jobs are not to go tell people what they're hearing in advance so that people know that I heard it first. That will discount you from being used by the Lord. Did you hear what I said? I said that'll discount you from being used by the Lord. Let me tell you one other thing. I remember right at the end of my time in youth ministry, I've told you this story before, but I want to reiterate a part of it. Right at the end of my term in youth ministry in the local church, my pastor transitioned me and said, I want you to do this other ministry. And the Holy Spirit was showing me that God wanted me to do something with regard to training other youth ministers in the things the Lord has shown me. And I told my pastor, you know what? I feel like the Holy Spirit wants me to train other youth leaders. And he goes, I don't know where that's going to happen. He said, but here's what I'm asking you to do. And it was something that I'm telling you, it wasn't what the Holy Spirit was putting on my heart. It seemed like the worst job, the worst thing in the world. And so I kept going back. He said, you want to pray about it? Yeah, I'll pray about it. I kept going back. And in my spirit, I just felt like, that's not it. What he's asking me to do, that's not it. It's not it. And so I went back in and I said, you know, I want to be submitted to you, but I just don't want to miss the Holy Spirit. But I feel like the Holy Spirit's leading me to do something else. I just feel like he's got something for me. He goes, okay, well, what do you want to do? I guess I need to resign and be led by the Holy Spirit into whatever he has for me. I mean, this was an honest, integrous struggle that I was having. It was not rebellion. I was not trying to leave. And so I did. I resigned. And man, the next 2 days were the worst days of my life. Inside, I felt like I missed God. Something's wrong. There was no witness of the Spirit on what I did. None whatsoever. And I went back in and I humbled myself and I said, you know what? I think I missed it. I think I missed it. Ever since I told you that I needed to resign, I just feel like I miss God. Something in my spirit, there's no witness of what I'm doing from the Holy Spirit. I miss God. I'll come back and do what you want me to do. And I did. And the whole time I did it, it was just a couple of months, the whole time I did it, it just didn't settle right with me that that's what I was supposed to do. But there was a witness that I at least I was doing what God wanted me to do, but that wasn't it. And 2 months later is when the headquarters of the denomination called and said, we want to talk to him about being our national leader. Now, had I left, I don't know what kind of a recommendation I would have gotten from my pastor. They didn't call me. They called my pastor to ask, what do you think about him? And he was able to say, he's submitted. He's humble. He can do it. He'll do a good job. But I don't know what would have happened if I'd have left and not done what my pastor asked me to do. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? I know with all that's in me that God was testing me to say, I know you can hear the Spirit. I already know that. But can you be submitted to authority? That's what I want to know. Even when you don't hear anything about what they're asking you to do, can you do it because they asked you to do it? Because how many of you know God will ask you to do things that you don't feel is what you want to do or should do? But you need to do it because God wants you to do it. And if you can't submit to your leader here on earth, you can't submit to Jesus, even though you think you can. You can't. And God was testing me. And thank God I passed the test. I almost missed it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because I was going with what the Holy Spirit was showing me. Instead of coupling that with my submission to authority, I almost missed it. But thank God we went on the ride of our lives when we went to the National Youth Office and traveled all over the country. Had a motorhome for a while and traveled around ministering to youth groups all over the country, taking our kids to Washington, D.C. and Walt Disney World in Florida and all kinds of fun stuff that are fringe benefits of doing what the Lord called us to do. Just a blessed time. But all that happened, listen to me, not because I heard from the Holy Spirit, but because I didn't think I had it all. And I was willing to submit to authority, and my authority steered me in the direction of the Lord, even though I didn't feel like they were. Are you understanding? There are different gifts. It's the same Spirit, but there are different ministries, and it's the same Lord Jesus. And the Father God wants to work the gifts in the ministries, not instead of the ministries, within the ministries. The Holy Spirit comes to glorify what Jesus has done and to enhance and empower and come alongside the structure that Jesus has put in place, not to abolish, minimize, and discredit and disrespect that function and that hierarchy that Jesus put in place. Are you hearing this? And here's why the Holy Spirit is saying this to us, because we're having and going to have a powerful move of the Spirit, but it's not going to be a flash in the pan that fizzles out because people aren't able to listen to the structure of the Lord Jesus and follow it so that it lasts long term. But it's something that can continue to go on for years and years and years to come because we're humble in our spirits. Amen. Amen. Thank God. How many of you say thank God for the Lord and His teaching of the Word of God? Isn't that right? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Praise God. Let's stand up. Let's stand up. Let's lift our hands to the Lord Jesus and say, Lord, we're submitted to You. We're submitted to You. Not only empowered by the Spirit and full of the Spirit, but Lord Jesus, we're submitted to You and all the ministries that You've put in place, God. We're humble. Go ahead, tell them out loud. Come on, tell them, Lord, I'm submitted to You. I'm submitted to Your Lordship. I'm submitted to what You're asking me to do, God. Jesus, You know what's best for my life. I don't know what's best. I know in part what the Holy Spirit has shown me, but I don't know all that is planned for my life. But Lord, I submit to Your leaders. I submit to those that You've placed over me. Everybody say this out loud together. Say, God, I trust You that even if my leaders miss it, that because I've been placed there, and I'm submitted there, that I will not be limited. My leaders will not limit what You want to do in my life. You will change things, adjust things, alter plans, even change leaders to allow Your ministry to flourish. I trust You that the heart of the King is in the hand of the Lord. And like the rivers of water, He turns it wherever He wishes. God, I refuse to glorify myself and be prideful. I choose to be humble and to bring glory to Jesus and honor to those leaders He's placed. I make this decision today from my heart in Jesus' name. Amen.